Hello, my name is Shani Tarragon. Welcome to Torah Timecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be studying Sefer Kohelet, Perek Hey, Chapter 5. Perek Dalet's last pasuk commences a major shift in the Sefer's formulation by moving from the descriptive first or third person to the second person, addressing the reader. The shift reflects the new ideology presented, an ideology that we have not seen in the introduction to Kohelet. We have seen that he proposed a philosophy, firstly of ma'asim, of amilut, of accomplishing actions in this world, followed by the philosophy of wisdom, and then the philosophy of hedonism, of simcha, of pleasure. Now we're going to find a new ideology presented, a much more religiously oriented one, the philosophy of Yirat Elokim, a fear of heaven. Kohelet instills the fear not only through the content, but also by the second tense formulation, which gives this piece almost a little bit of a Musar Shmuz, a sermon-like type of flavor, sounding like a mashkiach or a preacher's warning. Like Perek Dalet, its concluding pasuk, the first six psukim of Perek Hey warn the reader of the dangers of committing to fulfill what we are unable to secure. Men are quick to make speeches and to take steps towards solving global problems. In the end, though, reality, often justified as unforeseen, keeps the speeches from being fulfilled and the steps from completing the course. Thus, one should properly assess his capabilities before letting his mouth or his feet get ahead of him. The world is controlled by God, who manages it from above. Man, who resides below, does not control and is not even aware of all the factors that affect the future. Recognizing this, man should speak little, only about what he truly knows, and commit himself to only what he can realistically hope to achieve. Better not to commit than to not fulfill one's commitments. The Bli Nedar phrase, encouraged by halacha as a qualification of commitments, reflects man's limited reach. So let's begin with Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17. Shmor raglacha kasher telech al beit Elokim. This doesn't sound like the hedonist or the socialist activist. Rather, this now is a new speaker, a speaker who doesn't have the same introduction like Amarti, Dibarti, reflective, because the philosophy of Yirat Elokim is not one that one wakes up one morning and says, oh, I fear God. Rather, it's based on experiences. It's not introduced initially in Kohelet because it's a philosophy that one learns. And even if we're inundated with Yirat Elokim from the time that we're very young, with Uncle Moishi songs of Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, it's not until a certain stage of emerging adulthood where we truly recognize that there must be God involved in this world, that it's not deistic like the hedonist was claiming, or the social activist who doesn't really see the involvement of God either. Rather, this speaker realizes that one should spend time in the house of God. Even the foolish who are sacrificing, no, einam yodim lasot ra, recognize that God is in control. And therefore, al tivahil al picha, belibcha al yamaher lo tzi davar lefnei ha'lukim. Don't be so quick to speak, because there are consequences to your actions. Ki ha'lukim b'shamayim b'ata al ha'aretz. Because God is up there and you're down here. And even though the nehentan, the intellectual hedonists claim that there is ultimately a system that is predetermined by God and there aren't direct consequences, here the Yirei Elokim says, no, there is a world of theism, that God is directly involved. So there are consequences. God may be in heaven and you're on earth. So don't speak because God hears everything and there will be consequences. Because sometimes God comes to you, like we learned in Sefer Iov, that God sometimes reveals himself through a dream. It's the foolish person who's going to then just speak about this dream. But it's between you and God. And if you open up your mouth already in a verbal commitment, make sure that you fulfill what you said. God does not wish to pursue the foolish, because if you already opened up your mouth, then make sure that you fulfill your commitments. And this becomes one of the opinions, as we know, of the Tanaim, better not to accept nidarim than to commit oneself and not fulfill it. do not open up your mouth and say you're going on a diet and you're not eating chocolate cake, because in the end you may eat that chocolate cake, causing your flesh to sin. And then al tamar lefnei hamalach kishkagahi, you may then say in front of the angel who's coming to punish you, no, it was a mistake. Really, lama yiksof elokim al kolacha v'chibel et maaseh yadacha? Then God is going to be very upset with this. And note then that the world, the entire system of the world, is controlled by God, in which man needs to be careful about where he steps, what he says, what steps he takes, what words he says or doesn't say. In a world in which he's out of his league, man should be careful to listen in the hope of understanding instead of offering suggestions all the time. Pasuk Hey, therefore, counters the possibility of employing the shogeg, the misfortune claim, as a defense. When unexpected circumstances keep us from fulfilling our commitments, we try to excuse ourselves by describing the circumstances as unforeseen. We weren't in control. In truth, though, man ought to realize that circumstances are always beyond his control, and therefore he shouldn't commit himself in the first place. One who commits himself anyway should expect to be held accountable. In fact, Pasuk Hey explains that it's often man's brazenness that causes God to foil his plans. Commitments made in disregard of God's control of their realization, without saying or understanding that they're made b'li neder, force God to remind us of his control by causing this failure. Right? We see a good example of this phenomenon in the Migdal Bavel attempt that we learn in Parshat Noach. What we see through these psukim is a response to the activism espoused in Perek Dalet. Frustration with the world's harsh reality commits man to effecting change. The activist dreamer, though, needs to recognize his limitations and act, or actually sometimes not act, accordingly. Man's dreams to effect change cause him to imprudently commit to change many things outside of his control. That's the world of Ma'asim. In truth, though, man has to recognize a certain sense of humility, that many of his dreams are mere fantasies, havel. Man is best off fearing heaven, which connotes recognition of God's domination and certainly his reliance on him. Because ki berov chalamot v'havalim u'dvarim harbei ki et ha'elukim yira. In the end, it's fear of heaven that dictates man's code of action. On the one hand, he's not baffled by apparent injustice, because he believes that God will eventually rectify his situation. Pasuk Zayin. Im oshek rash vagezel mishpat vatzetek tereba medina. So many of the words that we've already seen. If one sees oppression, one sees the distortion of justice in this world. The nehentan, the intellectual hedonist, said, well, sit back, relax. That was all determined by God. You have nothing to worry about. The Yirei Elokim says, al titma l'chefetz. It's not that it was predetermined and there isn't really a system of crime and punishment and rewards. Rather, he says, ki gavoa mi'al gavoa shomer ugvohim alehim. You may not understand theodicy. You may not always understand the responses of God. But he says there clearly is God up above, who is ensuring that all of the system of justice work out. This is an answer that we're given from the time that we're at a young age that we don't always see and don't fully understand. But that's because we don't see the full picture, which is why he doesn't feel a personal responsibility to always try to figure out what the system of justice is. The conclusions of the Yirei Elokim remind us of the conclusions of the hedonist in Perek Gimel. The difference, though, lies in man's obligation to act. The hedonist characterizes man as essentially passive. His only responsibility is to enjoy this God providence in this world. Although the Yirei Elokim agrees to the hedonist's assertion of God's total control, he believes that man is nevertheless required to act, that we don't live in a predetermined world, but rather we can determine the outcome through our actions themselves. That's Pasuk Chet, V'yitron Eretz Bakolhi Melech Lasadeh Ne'evad. In fact, this is the Yitaron, the gain that man tries to pursue. God created man intending that he maximize his capabilities. Although man needs to be careful not to forget God's total control over the result of his actions, he must act nonetheless. The Yirei Elokim expresses faith in God, not through passive reliance on him, but through action taken in recognition of God's control over the outcome. Note that the term avodah, used in a pasuk chet, v'yitron eretz bakolhi melech lasadeh ne'evad, it's used for the first time in place of the term amal, as opposed to amal or toil, which connotes the frustration of working without the sight of a clear end. Avodah means work invested toward a particular goal. Psukim tet through yud aleph contrast work with such an attitude to the traditional notion. One who works with the assumption that his progress depends totally on his own efforts will never be satisfied. A bit more effort or a few more hours later in the night can help him climb higher or accomplish more. Just as we know in basic arithmetic, if one increases his resources, they're sometimes dwarfed by geometric increases in consumers, supply and demand. So too on an individual level, man is never content with his harvest. If more gain depends on more effort, then man will always feel pressure to overdo. The worker who realizes that he does not control the consequences, however, feels no need to work more than necessary. He sleeps sweetly, while the self-assured hedonist spends late nights desperately trying to protect his riches, or the amal, the worker who is just going to work overtime, thinking that that's the way to acquire and accrue much more in his bank account. Here we see the philosophy of the Yirei Elokim, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Mitukash Nata Oved. Who's the one who sleeps well? The Oved. He understands, Ima'at ve'im harbe yochel. He'll work for what he needs. Someone who's always striving for more, someone who wants more, who doesn't live day by day, but merely wants to hoard more rechush, more possessions, such a person will never be happy. He'll never be able to go to sleep, which is going to be used a few times in Sefer Kohelet as a barometer for meaning in this world, for a certain sense and state of contentment. Here we see then that it's the worker who realizes that he doesn't control. He understands that his income is set by God, as Chazal tell us, on Rosh Hashanah. So can't we sleep better? We might even invest more in our tefillot, in turning to Hashem as a result. And then he, after presenting the Yirei Elokim, after teaching us that maybe this is an ideal philosophy of being able to sleep well by placing your trust in God and investing in Yirat Elokim, after all, God is in control, then Kohelet introduces Pasuk Yud Bet. Yesh ra'a chola ra'iti tachat ha-shamesh, a sickening evil. The evil is presented in two sections, introduced by parallel psukim, verses 12 and 15. The first section, Psukim Yud Bet through Yudalid, depicts a person who loses the wealth he garnered from his life's work. He's unable to provide for his children, and he retires with no net gain from his protracted labor. The second section, Psukim Tedvav and Tetzayin, applies this image universally by reminding us that even one lucky enough to bequeath his riches still has no personal gain to show for all that pain. It is particularly the Yirei Elokim's philosophy, with its absolute separation between effort and result, that highlights this evil. Man works, but does not necessarily always gain. Even if he does succeed, the success he realizes may only be temporary. So right after the philosophy of the Yirei Elokim, Kohelet recognizes again the shortcomings in this philosophy. Even if he manages to protect his wealth, he won't be able to take it with him when he dies. Does this seem fair? And knowing this, can man be expected to live happily? This realization brings Kohelet back to his point of departure. Man cannot solve his frustrating reality. Out of desperation, Kohelet returns at the conclusion of the perek, im sukim yud zayin through yutet, to his default option. Must be hedonism. After encountering the frustrating reality described in Prakim Dalet and Hey, Kohelet loses the optimistic spirit that he had in Perek Gimel. Not many are blessed with wealth and health, even necessary to enjoy life's fleeting pleasures. At least those who are should enjoy them when they can. But we're going to see as we continue in the next Perek that death absolutely undermines even momentary pleasure that one has in this world. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Batzvi Yosef, Zechrona Levracha.